series, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 18, 19, 20, and 21 this evening. Hi, Frenchie. Thank you, Frenchie. Now, it is 6:22. How long can I preach? I have 8 minutes. I've been told. That's from my head deacon and my friend. All right, folks, let's all stand, please. Chapter 5, verse 18 is where we'll begin. The scripture says, and this is a long section of exhortation of various and sundry sorts, starting, you know, one is in verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly. Verse 16, redeeming the time. Only a fool wastes their life. Hey, only a fool wastes their life. Only a fool wastes their life. Oh my goodness. You mean you're, you know, if I gave you $1 million and you spent it on nothing, well, we won't go there. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So there's many exhortations. In verse 18, he has this famous passage of which I'm not going to expound on. He says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He didn't say don't be drunk with wine excessively. The very nature of being drunk or being under the influence of any sort of an alcohol is an excess. It's debauchery. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, in verse 19, 20, and 21, folks, in the King James, which is fine, you will see the same principle. There are five words that end in like that ing, participles in Greek, that tell us what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Now, this isn't written directly just to one individual. This is really written, I know this is shocking, to the church in Ephesus. But it tells you, what does it look like to be filled or dominated by the Spirit of God? And it gives you five participles. You need to know the participles. We're going to talk about three of them tonight. You never have to wonder if someone is not only indwelt, but filled or empowered by the Spirit. It's not a secret. Verse 19, this will be the verse we'll look at tonight. We're going to talk about worship in song tonight, by the way. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves. You notice the word speaking? That's the first participle. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here's the second one, singing. Here's the third one. The King James says, making melody. That is actually the Greek word psalmos. In the verbal form, salo. You see, how do you translate it? It's very difficult to know exactly what they were meant. Psalming, how does that sound? So it's speaking, it is singing, it is psalming. I think Kevin Bowder thinks it has something to do with plucking the harp. That's possible, but it's really a little bit ambiguous. We don't really know at this stage of the world exactly what that means. And then he goes on. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Fourth participle, or in English, is that a participle or is that a gerund in English? Giving, that's the fourth one. Everybody see it? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking, singing, making melody or psalming, giving thanks, and the fifth one is in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So tonight, when you walk away from here, you don't have to pray what it looks like. You don't have to wonder what it looks like. You know exactly what it looks like to be indwelt and controlled by the Spirit of God. Are you speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Are you singing? Has God given you a new song? Whatever psalming means. Are you a person that is constantly giving thanks? And are you a person that can submit? By the way, inherent in the nature of the Spirit of God controlling us, we can submit in our proper places. And people that can't submit, please. We're going to look at verse 19. I'm going to discuss tonight worship in song. I don't know if this will last 8 minutes. Now, I want you to look because you don't believe me. Here is all the notes I have. But what you don't understand is this won't be a problem for going 40 minutes tonight. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I ask your help because we have a small group, but small or large makes absolutely no difference. We need to be grounded in truth. We can't survive without it. And Lord, I'm about a zero of a knucklehead in these areas. I like to base what I believe on the Bible, not on tradition, whether it's Catholic or Baptist. And it's nice to have some roots in the Word of God where we can know exactly what it means to worship you in music or in song. How do we do it? What does it look like? What does it mean as a church to worship you in music or in song? Help us to hear, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you know Dr. Bowder's wife, Debbie Bowder? Would you say Debbie Bowder is a rabble-rouser, loud-mouthed, arrogant, hard-headed person like me? She is the antithesis of that. Is that correct? She is sweet, meek. I talked to Kevin Bowder, and I lose track of days. Yesterday, day before. He and his lovely wife and the president of the seminary, at Central Seminary, and the pastor of Fourth Baptist, what's his name, Brian? Matt Morrell. They went to the National GARBC Conference in Oswego, Illinois. I have never seen Debbie Bowder mad until I heard her over the phone. This is Debbie Bowder. I mean, there are people in this room that I know they get mad, but I can't imagine it. You say, what happened? They go to a national conference. They go there to make contacts and recruit students, frankly. And as they get to the conference is in Oswego, which is a GARB church, GRBC church, and they have a full-blown, right-in-your-face rock concert the whole conference. Loud, nasty, hard drums, the whole bit. I mean banging and clanging. If that isn't enough, two guys preach during the conference, the pastor of the church and another guy saying, "What's wrong with you guys that are always wanting to fight about music? What's your problem?" The head of the GARBC, whatever he's called, the head of the council of whatever he is, got up and said publicly, I have never been in one of these meetings, though I'd like to have been, and he said publicly, this does not represent the GARBC. And he was fired from his job on the spot. Now, I'm going to tell another story. If you go to church when you're on vacation, you already know this. And by the way, 2/3 of the church is gone. The hardest thing and the most painful thing to do when my wife and I go on vacation in the United States is to try to find a church. Look at me. Not a church that I like. A church I can tolerate. I just hope to go to a place where the guy opens the Bible, says something. It doesn't even have to be good. Something about the Bible. And the music is something that I'm not so angry with at the end of it that I want to beat somebody. And by the way, folks, I'm not talking about specific music. A few years ago, we went to Canada. I called the pastor. He was a very gentle guy, nice guy. He said we did blended music. I never heard the term blended before. That's blended music right there. That's what it is, blended. I thought blended music. He says we do like a compilation of like hymns and some contemporary. Well, I called. There was one church that was a King James only redneck church. I'm not going to that because I'm not listening to King James onlyism forever, period. So I had that stupid. And on this side, I'm like, blended. I thought, okay, well, maybe they sing Amazing Grace, and then they sing one song, and I don't care. You know, four or five songs, one of them is bad, one of them is okay, three of them are good, I'm good. Well, I found out what blended music was. Blended music is when you take a good song, you put it in a blender, and it comes out different. Mrs. Warren, yes? Every song they sang had some relationship to something I had sung before, but we couldn't sing it, the people couldn't sing it. It was so bad I wanted to scream. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you been on vacation? Have you tried to find a church? We found a church in Moab, Utah, that's where you don't want to be gone on Sunday. I know, it's like, it's miserable. We went to Moab, Utah, and we went to a church, and the pastor never talked about stupid, the whole two sermons. We heard him Sunday school, Sunday night, and Sunday morning, Sunday night. He never talked stupid the whole time. I was so happy, no nonsense. The music was no contemporary music, but What I want to do tonight, please look at me. In 30 minutes, I want to give you four ideas. I don't want you to be a redneck fundamentalist of the variety that says, I don't like that kind of music. I want you to have four specific guidelines of this. Worship in song. From the text. Is that fair? Let's do it. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves. We'll come back to that a little later. In psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. What does it mean to worship in song or to worship in music? Number one, worship is always, I'll say it again, worship is always by the people. It's by the people. It's what the people do. It can't be done for you. So if you have been associated with the garb or with anything from any kind of IFCA background or most all churches, one of the things you know is worship is progressively removed from the people and is given to whom? The worship team. They come up here, and if you're in the right kind of church, there's good-looking women dancing and guys like that. And the whole church is sitting out there. And they turn the lights down, and by the way, we're right back to Catholicism. Worship, there is no such animal as worship. Somebody can't worship for you. Now, before you jump all over contemporary music, this didn't start with contemporary music in the 80s. It didn't start with the Gaither Idiots. It didn't start with Bill Hybels. This started in the late 1800s, folks. It started when people got increasingly lazy, and it's just a whole lot more interesting to have good singers sing. I'm listening to sing for you. She says, does that mean we should never have a choir? Understand, our Baptist forefathers, many of them did not have choirs. Spurgeon didn't. Do you know why they didn't? Because they actually believed that if you're going to worship the living God, worship is by the people. It's not done by someone else up here. So if you or your family are involved in any kind of a church where the worship is by other people, fundamentally it's unbiblical. Now, if you were here in Sunday school and you learned about priesthood of the believer, you already know this. But the problem is, but my daughter goes there. I don't care who goes there. But I like those people. I don't care about that. Worship is by you. Now, by the way, I know some of you don't sing that well. My favorite singer in the history of this church, I never heard him sing in public. I don't think he could sing well. But every time I ever saw him in church, he was singing. I doubt if he could hear himself because he was totally deaf. And you say, who was it? Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith would pull out an old hymn book and go to it. I'm thinking it was bad singing, especially with his hearing problem. He couldn't even hear. But folks, it's a beautiful thing to look out here or to be part and see people singing unto the Lord. Worship in song or in music is by the people. It's always by the people. One person can't do it. a team can't do it. It's always by the people. Look at the verse. Look at verse 19. Speaking. That's you doing the speaking, by the way. You can't do it in participles in English very well, but it's plural. It's you. You know, you all doing the speaking. It's you all doing the singing. It's you all doing the making melody. By the way, it's you all doing the giving of thanks and you all submitting. I mean, it's something the people do. So worship in song or in music is number one, always by the people. Look at the last part of verse 19. Are you with me? By the way, I want to ask you a question. When we walk out of here tonight, look up here, sleepyheads, are you going to be able to just do this? See, pastors all over America get into all kinds of conspiracies. Don't sing the Gettys. Don't sing this. Don't sing that. That's of the devil. That has nothing to do with the Bible. Tonight, we're going to nail down what the Scripture calls worship. How about that? It's by the people. Number two, it's to the Lord. Let's say it again. It's to the Lord. How do we know this? Look at the text. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So what is the purpose? So here we are. Don't get nervous. Brian, why don't you go up here and set up here for me for 1 minute? Because I'm going to sit down here, okay? Here we are. This is a typical church today. But it doesn't bother you because the Bible doesn't have much of a place in our life. I'm talking about Bible. I'm not talking about Pastor Warren's prejudice. We're just looking at what the Scripture says. Worship is by the people. It's to the Lord. So here I am sitting down here. And the little group comes up and they're swaying and clapping. And when they get done, what does the little church do, Ron? They clap. Why are they clapping? Great entertainment. Really like that a lot. What's the problem with that? Worship isn't about you and me. Worship, and not directly, worship is about Him. I had a lady in my office. Now, Brian, thank you. You're perfect, buddy. Since I was seated here, now you can come down here. I had a woman in my office years ago. She got mad at me. That's shocking. What she really did was get mad at Christianity. She wanted a Christianity she can control. She came into my office, and these are exact words. I don't remember her name, her husband. I do remember his name. She said, Pastor Warren, I just can't go to church without my choruses. And what she was saying is, what goes on in a church, the music must please me. Well, this is funny. This means, folks, let me ask you a question. Ed, how long have you been married? Try to get it in round figures. Looking at his wife, he doesn't know. 20 years, is that about right, sister? 20 years. So you're going to buy, have you already gone 20 years? Did you buy your wife something special at 20 years? What did you buy her? You look at him, she can't remember. Did he buy you something? By the way, how would you like it, sister, on your 25th anniversary? That's a special anniversary, right? 25th anniversary, Ed comes home, he walks in the house, and he says, honey, I have the greatest gift for you on planet Earth. I have a new giant screen TV for me. Would you be mad? Why? Because it was for him, not for you. Look at me, friend. Worship is for the Lord. Is that hard to figure out? So when you're clapping, what you've really said is, I'm very happy. You haven't asked, is he happy? You haven't asked, is he clapping? Worship today always comes down to about the people. Folks, I have it in my office. The first book that ever expounded this that I read was Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Church. He flat out says that most of the people in my church listen to rock, poppy rock music. So he says, we switch to pop rock music because that's what. Now, look at me. Ron and Gail, you're too old for this. Lois, you're too nice for this. I like rock music. I can still listen to Led Zeppelin, The Who, and 100 other bands. What's that got to do with worshiping God? Answer the question. Nothing. Worshiping God is, he's got to be pleased. At the end of the day, when we come together, worship is done by the people to the Lord. And at the end of the day, we want to ask a simple question. Is he pleased? As the Bible says in many places, does he do this? He smells the sweet aroma of our worship. Or does he have a person that's half asleep in the pew and the person's about halfway with it and they're, you know, kind of in and out of the church service? No, he wants a person fully engaged when we gather together or individually. He wants you engaged. He wants you to worship the Lord in song. That's the idea. Worship in music or song is by the people. It is for the Lord. Let's continue, please. Now it gets hard. The King James properly translates something that is hard to explain in our language, in any language, because language doesn't use these the same way. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Notice that phrase, in your heart. It even says it singularly. But my third concept tonight about worship in song or music, it's by the people, it's to the Lord, and it's from or it's with the heart. It's from or it's with the heart. And what does that mean? You know, if I said something, say it in, you know, we tend to use heart as emotions only. On the other side, sometimes when we use the word heart, we mean to say it privately or quietly or not do it publicly. But in this text, when we sing in our hearts to the Lord, what it's really saying is, when we worship God, it comes from within. It comes from the center of our being. So we as a church collectively come together when we worship. And it's from, it's by the people to the Lord, and it's from or out of or with the very center of our being. We are singing to the Lord. But we have a problem. You don't know the problem. Tim knows the problem. Noel knows the problem. Cliffy probably knows the problem. When we come to church on any given service, one-third to one, or two-thirds of the people's mind are any place other than church. So what does the song leader's job? Let's go back. By the way, now this can get negative. I'm not trying to be negative. Let's go back to a Bob Jones University kind of music. Back in the Homer Roadiever days, which some of you have no idea who that is, where they had the slide trombone. Forget that. Let's go to Don DeGraw. What did he do when he led music? Stomping, you know, jumping. You know why? Because the goal of the song leader, look up here, was to get you awake. So what ended up happening is, Pat, you say, why do we have contemporary services? Why do we have people jumping up and down? Why do we have clanging and banging? Because the average person's heart is such a disaster that when they come to worship God, their heart is a million miles away and they're mumbling through a song service. Tim? Yes? So what we've tried to do is, you're used to hearing people preach about those liberals. I'm talking about us. Our hearts and minds are 1,000 miles away, but true worship in song and in music is from the people to the Lord, out of or from or with the heart. But if the heart's not here, then Pastor Kohok's job is to try to get your attention. I've come to the pulpit before. By the way, this morning there were 15 to 20 people left this church service during the church service. I don't know what was going on. I want to sometimes go back to the back and say, is there something back here? Somebody smoking back here? What's going on? Is there a party? You know why? Because people's minds are any place except worshiping God. So what Pastor Kohok's job, look at me. I'm talking about Bible-believing fundamentalists started 100 years ago. They realized we have to get people's attention. Therefore, we have to put on a dog and pony show up here. And you come to this church. Now, this is mean. Do you know the reason Tim Kohok leads the singing and not Don DeGraw person? Because I don't consider this Christian worship. I consider that Christian entertainment. It's great for entertainment. We used to do it on Sunday night. I liked it. It was good entertainment. But worship, there's no way he can make your heart prepared. That's your job. Your job and my job is to be ready to worship, not only on Sunday, but when we come together, especially coming together to worship the Lord. So let's look at the text one more time. Speaking, you all speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, you all singing, you all making melody, or whatever that word means. It is the verbal form of psalm. You all making, you know, making melody in your heart, but not, that doesn't mean silently or privately. It means, you know, meaning it comes from who you are. So worship in song and music is by the people, it's to the Lord, and it's from or out of the heart, the very center of our being. Lastly, number four. Are you ready? It's according to the Scripture. What kind of music can we sing? Music that is in accord with the Scripture. I'll say it again. Music that is in accord with the Scripture. It's according to the Scripture. I don't have to prove this tonight, nor do I have time, nor do I have the ability, just looking at the text, to prove to you. The Bible says we are to speak to ourselves, meaning there is an overlap here because we are benefiting from the singing of other Christians. We do it in psalms. What's a psalm? All right, go to a contemporary church. By the way, I challenge you. Some of you do, and you don't even know the difference. They say, well, we sing psalms. You guys sing those old, what are they called? What they tell Kevin Bowder? They said to Bowder, they said, you guys like songs that are funeral dirges. A mighty fortress is our God. That's a funeral dirge. Really? Why? Because they say, we sing song. We sing books that are like the Psalms. All right, folks, I don't have time. Every word in this text, psalmos, humnos, hode. Psalm, hymn, spiritual song. Psalmos, humnos, and hode. Every single word refers to the Psalms. So if we're going to sing according to the Scripture, our music ought to sound like two groups of things. Turn your Bibles, if you would. Let's look at first, let's see, where do I want to go? 1 Timothy 3. Let's look at 1 Timothy 3. I'll finish my thought here. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Every song we sing has to sound like the hymns of the Old Testament or the Psalms of the Old Testament or the hymns of the New Testament. Now, I can tell you these three Greek words are all referring to the Old Testament. That's a fact. But it's all right for hymns. You say, are there hymns in the Bible? Glad you ask. How would you recognize a hymn? A hymn is poetic. Yes? We have several that we're pretty sure were hymns that were included in the Scripture. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Let's see what this is about. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now begins the hymn. God was manifest in the flesh, justified or vindicated in or by the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That has the sound of a hymn, poetry. Philippians chapter, let's see, Philippians chapter 2, please. More poetry. As far as I know, more or less every person that understands Greek and can read it and understands poetry realizes in the New Testament there are hymns or hymn fragments that the early Christians sang. And they sound like things that are singable, both in English and in Greek. Philippians chapter 2, you will see the same kind of rhythm, the rhyming side to this. Now, not at the very beginning. Let this mind be in you, Philippians 2, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. And now you pick up on hymnic elements. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Colossians chapter 1, the next book. The next book. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. By the way, do you all understand poetry? Do you understand? You can almost feel the rhythm of this. So everyone look up here. What is worship in song or worship in music? You say, why don't we have girls up here? Listen to me. With the exception of a handful of people in this church, most people gradually would be just fine with changing the music in this church. Just would be. You say, how do I know this? Because almost every church in America has changed. Which means if a pastor's clever, he can start moving music in a different direction. There's only one problem. If we're going to be biblical, it's not about holding on to hymns of 1900. It's not about reproducing the golden age. It's about being faithful to what? And here's the scripture. Worship and song is by the people. To the Lord, I think, out of or from the heart, and it's according to scripture. Meaning it's either got to sound like a hymn in the Old Testament, a psalm, and I don't mean we will praise thee 400 times. You take any psalm, Psalm 23, there's doctrine, there's teaching, there are ideas, because that's how you encourage one another. We'll get to that in a moment. Colossians chapter 1, another one of these hymnic fragments, and it's about Christ. All of them are, by the way. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Are you ready? Man, we are going to be finished, but not very quick. Are you ready? What have I said? So when you go to that rock concert at that church, the rock concert's not what should offend you. Hello? You're missing worship, see? You're trying to basically judge things. Look at me. I like rock concerts. This isn't what you like. This isn't what you play. We're talking about Christianity. We're not talking about what you like. I'm not interested in what you like or what I like. Worship in music is by the people to the Lord. It's from or out of the heart, and it is according to the Scripture. The Scripture dictates the kinds of words and content that we talk about. When I went down to this church in Waukegan and I heard a choir sing a song about power, and the choir said something like, they started singing, there is something about, I don't remember what the phrase was, but it was a phrase, and the choir about 150 times said, there is power. And then one girl literally said the word power. Power! Power! 150 times. What's the problem with that? It doesn't sound like any place in the Bible. Because in the Bible, when you read the Old Testament Psalms or the hymns in the New Testament or the hymnic fragments, you hear things rich in doctrine. They're about Christ. They're about what Christ has done. Are there other kinds of psalms also? We come to the very last thing. Verse 19, you all find this? Speaking to what? Speaking to what? Yourself means what? It doesn't mean... See, don't become an individualistic person. It doesn't mean this is about me and Jesus. No. Why do we worship and sing out loud? Because it helps and encourages one another, doesn't it? So you say, what are the five principles in this passage? Worship in music and song is by the people, to the Lord, out of or from the heart, according to the Scripture. Are you ready? For the people. It's for us too. You say, how so? I can still remember in 1975, Beaufort, South Carolina, the first time I walked into a church and heard the church sing Victory in Jesus. The hair on my head stood. Why? Because hearing these Christians, and they weren't nice, sophisticated people, most of them were Marines, jarheads, they were excited to be saved, and that did what? It spoke not only to the Lord, because He's the ultimate recipient of worship, but it's for us. We get the blessings of encouraging one another through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I was in Bible college. I heard a young man get up and sing a song. It was only sung one time the whole time I was there, because it wasn't the kind of music that First Baptist and Hiles Anderson approved of. They did not approve of music that wasn't snappy. Dr. Hiles said every song has to be upbeat, no songs of the minor key. I'm going to test your thinking. When a guy like Jack Hiles says no music in the church of minor key, do you realize he has eliminated 63 of the psalms? 63 of the psalms are minor key, meaning they're reflective. But that never bothered him, because fundamentalists didn't know the Bible then or now. They followed their own dictates and their own emotions and their own feelings. By the way, when we sing Victory in Jesus, I expect to look out there and see people happy. When we sing Alas and Did My Savior Bleed, you ought not to be saying Glory to God. You ought to be reflective. Yes? Look at me, friend. Music is to the Lord. It's by the people. It's out of or from the heart. It's according to the Scripture. And it's not done in isolation where you get over in the corner and say, Victory in Jesus. It's for the people. It's something that not only the Lord is pleased with, but it encourages God's people. There is nothing like, Tim, you guys have been to the men's conference. How do you like the men's conference? Every year when we go to Rockford, my favorite part of Rockford is not the preaching. My favorite part of Rockford is 150 pastors singing in a small building. And the very singing of those pastors moves me. It's something that's for God's people. There's like, here I am worshiping the Lord, but in that process, God's people are strengthened. Now I'm going to be done. Frenchie, I told you. Everybody look at me. When I go on vacation, the hardest thing I do is find a church that I can worship in. Do you know why? The music is to entertain the people. The music has nothing to do with the Bible anymore. It's such froth that you're like, is Christian? Nothing about what Christ has done. Nothing about His work on the cross. Nothing about, man, we're going to sing when we close. By the way, grab your hymnal, 299. You don't mind, do you? The next time you hear one of these rock concerts, just ask yourself a question. Is this the kind of music I'm hearing? And if it is, I'm comfortable, because this, by the way, look at me, friend. Cliffy, can you lead this song? Come on up. Everybody look at me. When you hear this song, I want you to ask yourself a question. Does this sound like the teaching of the Bible? All right. We're going to stand, everybody. We're going to sing this song together.